Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas Eve. I'm glad you all could join us. Very nice to see you guys here tonight. Just a reminder, we won't be having services tomorrow, but do encourage you to do so with your families. I actually thought of something. I know we're on a tight schedule tonight. This isn't scripted, so it's going to put us 30 seconds over. Actually, is that clock right? I'm used to ending by about 11:15, so we'll try to do that tonight as well. No, I thought of something. If you saw me during the first worship song and I looked distracted, I was very distracted, and I'll tell you why. There's going to be fire in here in a few minutes. And somebody, if you attend this church, you know, there's all kinds of different biblical criteria for different roles in the church and all that. This is a position, none of that has to apply. In fact, if you're not a Christian yet, but you want to be a part of this, you're looking for a place to serve, important job. If we're not raptured before next Christmas Eve, I need somebody to text me an hour before the service and tell me to disable that smoke alarm. Okay? That's what I was doing. Anyway, I want to start this evening at the very beginning, the first book of the Bible, and the very first verse of the Bible. There's all kinds of favorite Christmas passages. I don't know which one is yours, or there's ones that we all get used to hearing this time of year. And I want to show you tonight one of my very favorite Christmas passages that you maybe never connected with Christmas before. But before I do that, I want to start again at the very beginning of the scriptures. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then if you continue on in that same chapter, in the 26th verse, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I read that, I start with that to teach you, or perhaps remind you, that each human being is an image bearer of his or her creator, the Almighty God. You and I were designed to look like God. It's in our DNA. So when we live lives that are in rebellion to our Creator, we're fighting against the very grain of our creation. And that path will never, ever lead to true satisfaction, joy, or peace. Now, I know we know the rest of that story from the garden. A lot of us were taught it as children, how the serpent then came into the Garden of Eden and deceived Eve. And she and Adam then ate of the fruit of the tree that God had told them not to, and thereby brought sin into the world, and with sin, death. And the story tells us that God then asked them what happened. And they confessed to God that they had eaten the fruit that he told them not to, and they told him about this serpent and what he had done. So the Lord God speaks to the serpent. He actually curses the serpent, and he says these words to him. And this is my favorite Christmas passage, okay? Genesis 3:15. It says, I will put enmity, or I will put hostility and division between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Her seed. That's Jesus. Not the one that would be born of man or the seed of man, but the one that would be born thousands of years later and now thousands of years ago to a virgin named Mary. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Isn't that beautiful? Perhaps you've never considered this verse part of the Christmas story before. But it is the very first, what we call messianic prophecy in all of the scriptures. It's the very first place where God tells us to not lose hope. He says, your sin has separated you from me, but I will be sending my son, Jesus Christ, to come and die, and it will be by his blood that you can be made right with me. In fact, it's the only way. But I want you to know that from the very beginning, that I have a plan for your redemption. Sending Jesus was never a second thought. The salvation of mankind, the only way to redemption with the one whose image we bear is based on this one prophecy. And it was not a second thought. You were not a second thought. And that he chose to do this through sacrifice for us, by sending his only begotten son as a vulnerable baby to later become a conquering king. Think how incredible, how inconceivable that sin would be so horrific, so painful, so destructive to everything and everyone that we love, so destructive to us. And God's plan from the very beginning would be to send his son to come into the world as a baby. It was announced here in the very beginning, but it was continued to be prophesied about throughout the scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 7, we read, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. A couple chapters further on in this same prophecy, we read, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hundreds of years later, after this prophecy was given, the angel Gabriel appears to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth the son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Months later, when Mary was nearly at full term, she and Joseph were required to travel by order of Caesar Augustus to the city of Bethlehem. It was by order of Caesar, but this too was by the plan of God from long ago. The prophet Micah wrote, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, means fruitful. Though you were little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. The Bible tells us that it was while they were in Bethlehem for the census, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The word of this child, the Savior of Israel, and all who would believe quickly spread. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. It is marvelous. It's miraculous that God's response to disobedience, that God's plan from the very beginning for rebellion against him was sacrifice. That his son would suffer to take away ours. Christmas is a time of joy and celebration. We look forward to the gathering together with family and friends. We look forward to the giving and the receiving, the time spent with the ones that we love. But the greatest gift was given by the one who gave us life, and then redemption and eternal life through his son. But we must receive the gift of salvation. We can't take a peek at it. Are there any of you like that in here? The peek and presence. Cut the tape. Who are they? You can point to them. Where'd she go? Oh, there she is. We can't take a peek at it. We can't play with it for a little while. We can't exchange it for something that gives us temporary pleasure. See, what makes this gift so awesome, so unlike any counterfeit that the world may offer us, is that there's salvation through this gift. There's redemption and restoration with God through Jesus. In Ephesians, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." And then in Corinthians, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And it's his birth that we celebrate on Christmas. But it's his life, his sinless life, and his death on the cross, followed by his resurrection, that make life eternal possible for us. I say possible because it's not a participation trophy. And I know those continue to gain popularity in this upside-down world that we live in. But salvation is not automatic. We must believe, and we must receive it as a gift. The Bible's clear about this. The Bible tells us that there is salvation in no other place. In the book of Acts, it says, For there is salvation, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. when Paul and Silas, we talked about this recently in our study, when Paul and Silas were asked by the Philippian jailer what they must do, what he must do to be saved, to receive this gift of God, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." They said, "Believe." And the Apostle Paul says the same thing in his letter to the Romans. In Romans chapter 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then in the next verse, Paul kind of flips the order of these two to show what actually happens in this encounter with the Lord. In verse 10, he says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So we must believe to receive. God sent his Son, and that's what we celebrate on this day. But that baby born in a manger in the city of Bethlehem grew up to be a man, fully God and fully man. He was without sin, which is what made it possible for him to pay the price for your sin and mine. And the beauty of Christmas is the realization that this gift is available to every single one of us, and that God's plan from the very beginning was to reconcile us to him through the miracle of Christmas, the gift of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you all to pray with me, and then we're going to close out our service with some Christmas songs, and the children will be coming out to join us as the warden goes to get them. Parents, when they come out, watch for your kids, okay, so they can find you. And then when they come out, like I said, there's going to be fire here, so watch your kids, okay? On the second song that we do, we're going to light the candles. We'll light them up front, and you can pass the fire back. Would you guys stand with me as we pray? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're not like us, but you made us to be like you. That in response to rebellion, in response to rejection, you made the only way for things to be made right. That Jesus was plan A from the beginning. Lord, we celebrate the joy of the world now as we sing. We thank you for Christmas, Lord. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, and we thank you for the gift of salvation that comes only through him. And it's in his name. And all the people said, amen. Merry Christmas. So let's sing these last few songs, okay?